wanted to understand. Okay.
Generally.
Sure.
Yes. Chairperson, just to start, maybe I need to indicate that before we get to the report or the work of the misconduct, I had honourable members raising a number of pertinent questions that needed to be responded to. I just need to indicate that the genesis of the so-called Comperio report, I'm saying the so-called in the context that the work that Comperio did or ought to have done, if I put it correctly, in terms of doing forensic investigations, is work that was favored to Comperio by the audit committee and internal audit based on the work that was done by the committee over the years. And it came about as a result of the issue of UIFNW that was increasing, and it was the only problem that the municipality had to obtain a clean audit opinion, because council failed to either condone, investigate, and implement consequence management relating thereto. So this work comes from three mayors. There was Mayor Shudulu, then came Mayor Hlongwane, and then came Mayor Kawe, and then came Mayor Mwerane now. Over the years, the audit committee then looked at the key commitments of the successive mayors as the report of the AGs were presented to indicate to them that there was outstanding work, and appreciating that the municipality is an executive mayor system. And therefore, the key commitments of the previous mayors in terms of Section 131A of the MFMA had to be implemented by the incoming mayor successively. And I must just say that some of the executive mayors did implement partially some of those AG recommendations and the recommendations of the audit committee. I'll start with Mayor Kawe, because I think when this consolidated UIFNW report was presented, it's when Mayor Kawe had been appointed as the executive mayor of Mpulen. And we then presented to executive Mayor Kawe the key commitments that executive mayor Simon Mofokeng had made in terms of investigating all the UIFNW. Chair, you would appreciate that the audit committee does not conduct investigations unless specifically requested to do so, or there is a significant threat that the municipality would pose that the audit committee would then initiate that investigative procedure in terms of its mandate contained in the charter and is empowered by law to do so. But of course, they'll have to follow due process to do that. So Executive Mayor Kawe then assumed responsibility to implement the recommendations of both the AG and the consolidated recommendations of an audit committee, and all the records were favored to Executive Mayor Kawe. And I remember we had a strategic planning session that took about 10 to 15 days with him digging his heels to try and resolve this matter. Fast forward, I'm just going to be brief, Chair, because there are many, the time is not on my side. Fast forward came Executive Mayor Mwerane, who was also required to continue with the work. What Executive Mayor Kawe did, he had announced that he will engage George Fivers to assist with the investigation of the work, to look at the root causes for the USW, and to find culprits who were responsible either by virtue of their position or by virtue of their participation in the bid committees. So that report was never favored to council. It never got to be tabled. However, it was in the public domain. Council was aware that Executive Mayor is engaging with George Fivers. Now, when Executive Mayor Mwerani came in, we alerted him to say, look, there's a lot of work that is outstanding that needed to be concluded by the previous Executive Mayor. However, we know that there was a process that started. It is a key commitment that you have to meet to clear all these issues. The matter was then, Comperio was appointed to investigate the causes for the UIF interview and supposedly find the culprit. That report of Comperio also was given to MPEC, and there was engagement between MPEC and Comperio on the number of reports, and subsequently council then decided to establish the financial misconduct disciplinary board in terms of the regulations. And I was
appointed to
that committee. And the chair of the committee. I can safely say to you, Chair and honorable members, that that report of the Financial Misconduct Disciplinary Board criminal proceedings has not been tabled to council for a number of reasons. But there is preliminary reports that have been given to the Executive Mayor, and there has been engagement with the MEC, and the Speaker subsequently was also favored with the preliminary progress report. The delay was caused by from the committee getting access to the reports, the 21 reports of Comperio that Comperio was looking at. And when we obtained those reports around end of March, just after COVID, because the board was established in October, the mayor proceeded, we highlighted to him with the previous executive manager, the MM, which matters did not require even financial misconduct board to deal with, that were of a criminal nature that they needed to be reported to the Hawks. Assisted by Comperio, they proceeded with that matter. But our role in terms of our terms of reference and the Act is to investigate financial misconduct in as far as it relates to employees who are already still in the employ of the municipality. And I will give you a long list of the employees who were supposedly implicated, but who were also cited in a number of reports, including being recited or named, if you want to put it correctly, in the Comperio report. We then had to engage with Comperio because the law says the DC board must investigate as we were seized with the work. We then said, no, there's no need to investigate owing to the fact that council had already appointed Comperio to do that part of the work. That was our contention. Let us rather engage with Comperio and establish if they have done, firstly, investigations. Secondly, if of those investigations, which of such were of a forensic nature, and what investigative procedures were applied to recreate documents where documents have been lost, obliterated, or deleted, and what investigative work they have done in terms of sourcing other documents, including calling people to come and account on their involvement and omission or commission in terms of the irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. So sadly to note, and I don't want to talk about some of the issues because some of the people in this platform might be also subject of those reports, but safe to say that sadly, when we did our assessment as to whether we could use the work of Comperio on the basis of investigation, we were confronted with a number of issues. The first one, the report of Comperio had limitations. That's the first one. So limitations would meet in this instance that they could not obtain records. They had no mechanism to obtain those records through alternative means. They've even indicated to ourselves that some of the officials had not been called, and those that had been called, some of them did not present themselves to give their side of the story, so as to validate if they had the role to play or there was any criminal intent or culpability on their side. So that's where we stood. We then looked at asked them if the work entailed some audit procedures. They said no, the work did not entail audit procedures. We then looked at the methodology applied. We wanted to know which methodology was applied, as we are also all in the same practice in terms of forensics, where documents had been obliterated, deleted, stolen, or not, whether they've applied tool techniques or any other forensic science techniques to recreate documents or to source information. So we found that that report, there were a lot of loopholes. We said we will use it as one of the reports, but it is not a one of the main reports, simply because the key element of that report contained names of people. We noted ourselves that the Audi rule was not applied. So however, because we already knew from attendance registers, appointment letters, and all information at our disposal, who were involved in the bids, we took a decision in terms of the work and the procedures that we've developed as a committee. Firstly, to deal with the Audi rule process, to allow everybody to make representation to the board. So the employees that were involved are 16 who are still in the employ of the municipality. We gave them an opportunity to respond, and they duly did respond, all of them, albeit slow, but eventually they did respond. We were then requested to present a preliminary report where the MEC was of a view that everybody who's cited in the report must be suspended, and that we should deal with the correctness of the process after that because they may pose a threat. Respectfully, Chair, our view was that the municipality is an organ of state. In all its processes and proceedings, the element of legality must apply, so we cannot ourselves, being an independent body, also in another capacity, an assurance provider, seize ourselves with issues of non-compliance and not follow due processes. We indicated to the NEC what process would be followed. However, we still need to table the report to council. So as I'm speaking to you now, the detailed preliminary report has not been presented to council. And the speaker did indicate that a number of council meetings could not sit for the reason that she already articulated, and as such, other reports could not be tabled. So this report will go to the next council meeting, which is not the final report, but it's a progress report relating to a number of matters that we have investigated, including the precautionary suspension letters that were issued by the MM on submission for all the employees who are non-Section 56, who are not senior managers, who it is the responsibility of the accounting officer to deal with their matters of discipline. We allow the accounting officer to issue those precautionary suspension, and we also advise the accounting officer to follow the law in terms of applying the collective agreement on suspension of the bargaining council, which he has fully complied with, and there hasn't been any comeback. The accounting officer is yet to deposit to us a report that, as we present to council our report, how many of those that we have referred to him to initiate disciplinary proceedings, is he proceeding with that, and at what stage are the disciplinary proceedings? Safe to say, Chair,
Mr. Mfokeng, when did you give him those documents? Is he yet to give you a report? When did you refer the matters to him?
Yeah,
want to understand how long has he been sitting with this report of yours?
Okay, Chair. Just give me 1 minute. I can just open on my other laptop. I'll tell you the dates quickly. How do you let us? Chair, the reports were given to the municipal manager on the 10th of August, 2020, and then the municipal manager issued the letters around the 14th of August. 2020, so it's about, it will be 3 months now that that process had been initiated. This progress was also given to the executive mayor because council had seized and delegated this matter to the executive mayor to dispense with and report to council. Now, for purposes of time, Chair, I'm just giving you a high-level summary, but we will favor with a detailed report. What one has observed, the key challenges which we also escalated to Speaker and to the Chief Whip of Council so that through the whippery, the delays in some of the processes, also to ensure that we comply with the law, we must explain what has occasioned those delays. And this was communicated to the Speaker, noting that between the three key members of the political office bearers, communication was not flowing as it ought to have been. And we took it upon ourselves to say, look, let's clarify the issues of communication and delays. However, this report, council must still deal with it at an appropriate time and get a consolidated view whether there is progress or not. Chair, Honorable Chair, I must indicate that in our preliminary report to also the MEC and to the administrator and administrator team, we indicated our discomfort around using the Comperio report in its entirety owing to disclaimers limitations. Also, the reports, there are a lot of contradictions that I find themselves in the report, whether it's a review, it is an investigation or forensic investigation, and we're engaging with Comperio in terms of the work yet they yet still have to complete, and the work that they had submitted to MPEC to prepare their report, and indicating that that work is not, some of the reports are not final yet. Council was given reports that says the work is final, and MPEC was also given an impression that the report that of Comperio they were working with was final. So just for the credibility and the integrity of our process, we had also to rely on all sources available at our disposal. So I need to just to clarify here that the basis of the investigation now we're doing, also using hindsight, we're using historical data that to conduct this investigation, is not solely based on the Comperio report. There was a request by the MEC that we should look at the value for money, for the amount of money that has been paid to Comperio, which exercise we are halfway with because it's not an easy exercise. And again, Chair, for issues of confidentiality, respecting this platform, it would not be responsible of me to share some of that information. Let me say that way we have...
But how much was paid? Not dealing with the value for money, because I know in terms of your code of conduct and ethics, I don't know how do you deal with the review of the work of your peers, but how much was paid for this report?
Okay. Yeah.
Not the value for money, how much was paid to commission for the commissioning of this report? That information you have at your disposal.
Yes, sure. Correctly, as me and you would know, in terms of the review of the peers, what we are busy with now is external confirmations in terms of the value. I'm using the other professional bodies. I must also indicate I'm a president of a professional body and a vice of another professional body. So we assist with this work in terms of review and sign-off. We have to leave it there. So that process we are busy with. But from the work that we've done, the collation of all the invoices that we are filtering, we were sitting at 56 million, the last the March invoice, 60 million, but some of the work would not necessarily be relating to the work of Comperio. We are just filtering the report so that we can give a consolidated figure of exactly how much. But it is not 1 million, it is not 10 million, not 20 million. So you can guess how much it is. It's shared. So it is a lot of. And the questions that are, honourable members, are valid to say, for the kind of work that was done by either the audit committee or compare or anybody who has done this and recommendations being favored to council, why has the reports not been given effect? Why were the recommendations or the outcomes being given effect? I can say not in the defense of anyone else. In terms of the criminal proceedings, 3 weeks ago, before the mayor got sick, a month ago, in September, we had approached the Hawks with employees that are implicated. We wanted to obtain progress report so that when we recommend an internal disciplinary process, if there's a criminal, parallel criminal process that is running, we assist with adequate and proper information as to where the process is, Chair. So yesterday...
But Mr. Mufokeng, you know, with this is on the balance of probabilities, eh?
Correct.
You know that principle.
Correct.
Hmm? So correct. If you want to tell us that because you were waiting for the outcomes and the evidence from the court, whereas with this is the AG report on its own balance of probabilities.
Yeah, that's spot on. No, what we
yes.
were trying.
Why wait for the criminal proceedings then? I'm talking to you now as an independent person who knows these things better than I do.
The person spot on. In fact, the one process was not dependent on the other, as you would understand. However, some of the officials that we have now implicated, not only cited, now we have established that there's financial misconduct. Upon service of the notice of intention to suspend, some of them went on sick leave and so forth, and that process upon inquiry on the MM, they could not proceed. However, council also wanted to establish how far the criminal proceeding process is, Chair. I just wanted to highlight on that. I agree with you fully that these are not, they may be interrelated processes, but they're separate processes. So where we are at the present moment, Chair, we need to favor the executive mayor with outstanding information of some dockets don't have A1 statements, some don't have A2 statements, as per our engagement with the Brigadier Luele and Colonel Makgoshi as also for yesterday, Chair. I can tell you that there's a new investigator that has been assigned to look at this matter, and because the mayor was on sick leave, I undertook that we'll have an engagement with him tomorrow, with the colonel who's given the specific responsibility, Colonel Mokwena, to deal with this matter. This matter was also, because we cannot process it, but ours was to obtain where the loopholes are. This matter was a matter that also was awaiting the accounting officer, whose status up to now we don't know what it is. And the acting accounting officer was also not seized with this matter. So I'm hoping if the status of the accounting officer is clear, he was also informed that he needs to deal with this matter to complete the statement. So Chair, this is the progress that has been made to date. Now, where is the gap in terms of the information? And why is council not in the know about this information to date? I'm saying the weaknesses, and the speaker would indicate, the weaknesses are the challenges that we have noted in terms of the communication protocol in the municipality that needs to be beefed up. However, it is important to indicate, Chair, that when the suspensions, the precautionary suspensions were to be effected by the MM, we took it upon ourselves also to inform the mayoral committee, because some departments would have been affected more than others, and as the executive, it would have been folly of us not to bring them on board, but not indicating to them the specific charges, but to highlight that there is an imminent disciplinary process that would be unfolding, so they should be made aware, and the MM was part of that. Chair, the last point that I want to make, because I don't want to really usurp the time of the committee and the rest of the members, is to request two things, Chair, that we would really like to finalize this report, and we would want to give a credible and an authoritative view on the report itself, based in terms of the process itself followed, the people who are culpable, the course of action to be followed, and all matters that council must follow on their own. And where matters of criminality must happen, if we are fully aware, we don't even have to wait for council. We can also report the matters to the police. So where we are, Chairperson, is to present a work plan to council in order to finalize this work and indicate what is required. Thirdly, Chair, I need to say, all of you have been indicating the discomfort around the state of governance in the municipality. I had a presentation to MPEC day before yesterday, and we had a presentation at the council last week. Part of, if you read the AG's report, the overall message, look at the assurance level. What pains one as a ratepayer of this town, I must confirm I'm a ratepayer also in the city, is the level at which the recommendations of all the assurance providers have not been implemented. And I was even indicating to council that no self-respecting independent assurance body would be happy to be regarded as being effective by the AG for all the consecutive years. However, its recommendations don't get to be implemented. And perhaps the good guidance, as I spoke to the administrator and the team, is that whatever plans and interventions that they would be bringing, they have to align them to the findings of the AG, not for this the year ended last year, the 2 years, and also look at the failure of in-year reporting in this past financial year ended June, because one can tell without saying anything that the audit opinion is not going to be different from what we are having here. And that is a good barometer to assist you to plan and correct going forward. I'm saying a bad audit opinion in itself, it helps you, though the outcome is not what one would appreciate, but it helps you to understand the extent to which the organization is sick and what you need to put in place to remediate. But what is key from where we are sitting, Chair, is that all the plans, support plan, intervention plan, FRP, the SDB plan, IDP, all these must be integrated, and there must be an integrated monitoring framework and reporting, which is a challenge, and reporting going forward in order to remedy this situation. Chair, I want to pause there in terms of the work that we are doing. We will table the report to council next week, and we will take guidance to council as how this matter should be dealt with going forward. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to clarify these issues.
Can I allow Councillor MMC Mushua Luba to say something? Your hand was up.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair, the member of the committee, the executive mayor, the speaker, the chief whip of council, MMCs, honorable councillors, and the community of Mfuleni. I just want to come on two issues, Chair. It is on the issues where they were raised by the speaker of the 115 reports that were sent back to escort to seat. It is us, the MACO, that have recommended that those reports must go back to
the head of portfolio, Councillor. Which portfolio do you head?
Okay, in your Chair, I'm the MMC for Community Safety and Mfuleni.
Okay, I wanted to understand that community safety.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. Yeah, I
think, sure.
I think no, because after the report serves in the Section 80, then it must go to ESCO. From ESCO, they must go to MACO. There were issues that were raised on the Section 80s. The time when the report serves in MACO, it was when we see those issues were not resolved by ESCO. It was when we recommended that, all those reports must go back to ESCO. We even recommended that on the report, they must also indicate the date. When did the ESCO sit and when did it see the light of the ESCO and also the MACO? I only wanted to come on that one. The last one, Chair, is on the issue of the insourcing. Yes, the mayor have touched on it, but then let us come on the recommendations, because I remember EFF was the one who had the march where they wanted the insourcing. In that march, I was with the mayor when the mayor going to receive the memorandum. On the memorandum, one of the issues was insourcing of security, where the mayor did agree and say, once we can have a consistent 6.5 million to pay the security, then we can insource. But we agree as the maker to say, yes, we agree on insourcing once the financial situation of municipality have improved. But we must take it by batch by batch. Maybe we must first start with those that are working on the offices. But we cannot take all of them, because I can give you now the stats now, Chair. How many securities do we have? How much are we paying per security? For that company, we are sitting at 519 security, which we are having 503, which are at the credit fees, which we are paying them 14,901.56. Then we also have 16 armed security, which we are paying 15,114.56. Then we also have to pay two docks that we are paying 3,500 each, and also the patrol vehicle, which we are paying 15,000. That's why we said, presently, with the situation of the municipality, the financial situation that we are having in municipality, we cannot insource the whole security now. We can only break it by piece. But also that I've recommended from my department is to say, let us also have now a company, a camera. We must put cameras where we have only a building of municipality. There's nothing where we have put the warm bodies, because warm bodies are more expensive than cameras, which we are busy with it now. But I was just coming just to clarify on those things, just to say, yes, we did agree on insourcing, but we said we insource them bit by bit, because the contract that we are having with the current security company now, it's going to end next year, July on the 31st. So I just want to clarify those two issues. Thank you so much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Can I hand over to the acting executive mayor? You have been wanting to account. Where is she? It can't be 3, 4, 4, 5, 7. Can I hand over to the acting executive mayor? Mr. Edward von Bodenstein. Can you mute your microphone, please, and stop being disruptive? Can I ask you to mute your microphone? Where is the acting executive mayor? Where is she? It's not here. Speaker? Shibut?
I'm here, Chair.
Where is the acting executive mayor?
We don't know. Maybe some of the MMCs can explain. Maybe they are together. Mushwadiba, check mayor. Your acting mayor.
Because the mayor told us she's coming back, she's back. That's why I released him. Can the chief could call her? Say she mustn't waste our time.
Mm-hmm.
You speaker, call her as well.
Okay.
Tell her to connect. In the meantime, can I ask the MM to respond to all the issues we raised? I hope you are briefed. If you're not, the acting MM was in the meeting. Can you respond to all the questions as raised by the members?
Is the MM?
You were not in the meeting last week. Were you briefed last? Were you briefed of all the questions raised in the meeting? I don't want the situation like what happened with the mayor.
Okay, no. Maybe there.
I know there are issues that were raised.
Yeah,
I know
no,
there are issues that were raised today that you'll have to respond. But can you allow the acting MM to first deal?
Okay,
that we raised last week in your absence. And
okay.
Then there are issues that you must respond yourself, I know, now that you are here. where is the person who was speaking?
Chair, I'm here. Can
it
I proceed?
The company. Proceed.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes. And again, good afternoon, Chair, honourable members, MMCs, colleagues. Yes, Chair. We in fact, the entire week, we sat and worked with the MM based on the outcome of last week's meeting, and also preparing the responses to the questions. So the short answer is yes, Chair. We have taken the MM on board and taken him into confidence around what was raised last week. And I think there is also a full presentation of all the responses that we are going to supply to yourself today, Chair. Thank you.
MM.
Okay, no, thanks, Chair. I think I'll just touch on two issues. The report on the disciplinary, I mean on the forensic investigation report, just to add to what Mr. Mofokeng had reported, that indeed immediately upon receiving the report of the disciplinary board, I think within a week, I think it was a matter of around 4 days, I started taking action. You can appreciate, Chair, that it was affecting 17 officials. So what I decided to do was to stagger it. So I started with the managers, you know, to take action against them. They were given, you know, precautionary suspension letters. They responded, and then charge sheets have been formulated. Initiators and the chairpersons of the hearings were in the process of finalizing them. So the disciplinary hearings should be starting in earnest. The second layer got delayed. The other two layers got delayed of the other people below manager level. It was largely because of the drama, you know, around my employment status. But subsequent to that, I was suspended. I was brought back, and but it's something that we'll also talk about. And then the third layer was also the delays of counsel getting, you know, the full report, because the report is the chairperson of the DC board said it has been referred back, I think, from the July meeting. So there is indeed progress on that. That's the one leg of it. The second leg is to take action against former employees. As you know very well, Chair, that if an employee has resigned, chances of you getting him or her for a disciplinary hearing are very slim. So we will follow the legal route, you know, by instituting litigation against them. The same applies to companies that were involved. And to that effect, what we have done, Chair, is that we've held a meeting with the Hawks around a month or so ago, where we went together with the mayor, and they gave us progress report. We also raised a number of issues, which I will not go into detail about them. And they've undertaken then to, we're going to have another meeting where the Asset Forfeiture Unit and the NPA are going to be involved in that meeting, so that these other two legs, you know, of former employees and companies, I attended to, and also expecting counsel to also take decisions on areas where they need to take decisions. But as I'm saying, it was also then disturbed by my coming to work and at some point not coming. I don't know if you want me to talk about my suspension, Chair, because it has been raised, and I think maybe I need to also speak about it, if you allow.
Talk to it, it's okay.
Yes, I was... As the mayor was saying, I was on the verge of taking legal action, but upon discussion with the mayor, we agreed that I will take a two-week leave to give counsel an opportunity to resolve issues around the suspension, which I viewed to be irregular. I do not mind having to account for my actions. But then what happened subsequent to that, I've been victimized. You know, I've had MMCs questioning my presence at work. I don't have a letter of suspension. I've had the chief whip chasing me out of the PMT meeting. I've had the speaker, you know, chasing me out of a panel that was meant to interview the audit committee for the next term of office. Now I am on the basis of now building grounds for constructive dismissal, you know, because the harassment that I'm getting here at work, even now, my family is concerned about my safety, because people even go up to the stand of going to radio stations to go and mobilize the community to come and attend council meetings. Actually, the last council meeting, the mayor said that of concerns of my safety, I must not attend. So I think it's an issue that the portfolio committee may also need to look into. Thank you, Chair.
But then talk to the issues as raised by members. That has got to do with your work as accounting officer. We raised a lot of issues because I thought the acting MM got to deal with that. There were a lot of issues that were raised. So these issues of you with concern, but the AG reports show a lot of things that you didn't handle properly. We wanted to understand what are you doing? The previous AG report, including the current one, the regular expenditure has increased to 1.1 billion under your watch as an accounting officer.
Yeah, Chair, maybe let me clarify. I just joined the municipality late February or March. So those things would have happened before I was employed. I only recently joined the municipality. But I can assure you that in the past 6 months that I've been employed in the municipality, there's been no irregular appointments, there's been no Regulation 32s, I'm implementing consequence management. We will see in the next audit report. Obviously, it won't be good because I joined during the end of the financial year. So those issues, they don't talk about my time with office, as I'm indicating that I just joined end of February, beginning of March.
You were appointed when February this year. When you came into the municipality, there were matters of malfeasance, corruption, misconduct. What have you done since you occupied the office? That's the issue that we are raising with you now.
As I said, Chair, on the misconduct cases, we are implementing, the disciplinary report recommendations. And the number of misconduct cases, as and when they get reported, we've been implementing through our labor relations to make sure that staff, we take consequence management with regards to staff. But as you are aware, Chair, most of the part of the year, we've been under lockdown. So some of the cases may not have proceeded, but we are definitely dealing with all those cases. There's no case that was sweeping under the carpet, as far as I know.
It's on record that yourself and the administrator, you failed or deliberately ignored the summons that were issued by the Chinese company. The High Court then issued a default judgment in favor of the Chinese company. And then yourself, you tried to hide the default judgment of 600 million against the municipality until the news were broken by a Moneyweb media house on the 25th of September. 2020. Then there was an issue of the legal advisor who was dealing with this matter, Mr. Thando Mbono. This happened under your watch, who gave a 20-hour resignation notice and ran away. And yourself, this matter, you never raised it with the public, neither with the council. On the 2nd of October, the Chinese successfully attached the municipal bank account and secured only 45 million. And then due to the insufficient fund, the Chinese have blocked the account. Then you were on leave during that period. You voluntarily took leave. Will we be wrong that you voluntarily took leave because you were running about this matter? How did it happen that then you ignored the default judgment? This happened under your watch. This happened under your watch. You want to tell us people were constructively trying to dismiss me, to dismiss you under the circumstances. This is true negligence and delegation of responsibility. How did you deal with this matter? How did you allow this matter to happen? Then the mayor is on record. Wait. The mayor is on record that he has taken his time off during his sick leave to negotiate. And then, because the bank is attached, the bank was attached under your watch. You want to deny that? And then the issue of this Tando Mbono, he was working with you, he was accountable to you on these matters. So these are the matters that we want you to, because don't come and play victim here to us the way you are doing it. There are things that you must take responsibility. Busy preparing a case of constructive dismissal or not. But these issues of the default judgment, they happen under your watch. And you're not saying anything about it. You're trying to tell us how you've been victimized on matters that needs your attention. You're not saying any other thing in relation to that. So we want your comment on that one as well. I think you will assist us a great deal on this one. The issue of incomplete projects, reading your powers and functions in terms of the Systems Act and the MFMA. These are matters that are within your purview. Since you assume office, this municipality has a lot of incomplete. I wanted you to comment. You are silent. You are not saying anything about it. And these things, you found them. When you took into office, again, when you take office, you inherit liabilities. Good things and bad things, they come to you as an accounting office. Because these are the questions you were here, you had asked. That's why I said you'll have to answer. You're not saying anything about those things. And we want you to comment on all these things because you are an accounting officer and the buck stops with you.
No, agreed, Chair. Agreed.
Yes. Respond to all the issues raised by yourself and members. You must respond. Give us responses. You are the accounting officer. You feel you are aggrieved. People are illegally suspending you. Then you must be telling us for doing my work. So prove it to us that you have been doing your work diligently. Do that.
Yes, Chair. I've noted the issues that were raised. I will respond.
And the issue that you are, before you do that, the issue that this you are under administration, you are all there. Councillors, MM, accounting officers, don't beat the bush around intervention, because intervention is only there to support you.
Yes, Chair.
No powers of any person was taken away from them. Proceed.
Yes, Chair, I agree with you. I mean, there's no two ways.
Proceed, M. There's a lot of issues.
Can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you loud and clear. Proceed.
I may have missed other issues, Chair. So that's why I was saying, should I respond to the issues you've raised, or are there other issues that members may want to raise so that when I respond, you know, we don't have other issues being added. So if members
respond to the issues, I've tried to ask a lot of issues that was raised by Honorable Kaiser of 1.7 million on the Kentucky's and everything. Why projects in your municipality never end? Can you show us the project that has been in construction? You must tell us, these are the projects that you found. This has been the period that I found. What are we doing with that? Eh?
Okay.
The issues of the forensic reports that you are raising, you cannot abrogate your responsibility as an accounting officer. There's a lot of issues there. The issue of the municipality being owned by these big companies. You are aware of those things as an accounting office. Or this agreement that was there. What have you done since you came in there? The MIG project that never ends. What have you done with that? There's an issue of 400 million that the municipality must pay on labor hours. You are there, you are the accounting officer. You should be talking to these issues. And the issue of lack of disciplinary measures on the key delinquents, that unknown, you have been there. What are you doing? These are the issues that we raised last week as a committee with your colleagues and yourself. The detail about it, you are here. That's why I'm repeating them again today, so that you must know what we want to hear from you now that you are here. Last week, people will have easily got away to say that the accounting officer is not here. Today, you are here yourself. Then it's good news that you are here. then we are able to raise this issue sharply with you as an accounting officer now. The members are still going to come, but I wanted you to first address these issues. And I'll also refresh your memory for your benefit, because you were not in the meeting. We'll raise the issues that we feel they are not adequately responded to, and we expect you to respond to them as an accounting officer. Proceed.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay, let's start with this one that me and the administrator hid the information around the Chinese thing. It is not true, Chair. We were also only became aware from that MoneyWeb article on that particular day. And upon being aware...
You were not aware that there was a litigation against the municipality on this matter?
No, I'm talking about...
You were not aware. Did you file the papers?
If you could give me a chance to explain myself. Maybe I'm too slow for you. I'm trying to say that the issue of the summonses that they were served to the municipality, we only became aware, like all the people, through the MoneyWeb article. And upon that, I immediately instituted an investigation to check to see what could have happened. And what came to light was that there was some negligence in the handling of the information on the part of the municipality. It's something that I've instructed the internal audit to undertake a probity. They've given me a draft report today to say what could have gone wrong, and then we will be reporting to council in terms of possible actions that needed to take place. That's the one part about it. Also, upon getting information, I immediately then, informed our lawyers on record and had a session to try and rescind the judgment. It's a matter of that, our application for agency was not favored by the court, but we were able to get the date for the 25th or around the 21 or 25th of November to deal with that matter. So it is not true that, I had information and we hid it together with the administrator. I know it's been doing the stories in the social media, but it is not
true.
Can
we stop it there? Can we stop it there? Let me follow up. Is it not true that to make sure that when legal documents are handed over to the municipality, either through your records, through your office, because normally those documents are served in the municipality. So you don't want to take responsibility. That's why you even want a straightforward matter, you want to give it to the internal audit to investigate. Did you put systems in place to make sure that when documents of
I'm losing you.
As a these documents were sent in the municipality.
You finished.
You can't hear me.
No, I can't. I can't. Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you, Chair.
The point is that it's all about the point about record management, and that is as a MM to his case. I'm saying, why do you have to outsource this thing for the internal audit to investigate the issue of somebody in your office, including your legal officers and legal people and your records, who were supposed to have got these documents and sent them to the relevant people so that the municipality is able to defend the matter? Why does it have to become a matter of internal audit? Because you've got a responsibility to make sure that there's a proper... So you don't want to take...
Mm-hmm.
responsibility for this. And this will instruct council attorneys if we don't have that internal capacity to defend the matter. But there's proof that documents were sent. So it means in this municipality of yours, documents get just dumped. Nobody takes responsibility. And you're not even telling us as a committee. I've since made efforts to say, this is how we're going to then restructure or improve our record management system. You're not saying that. What you're interested on, you are going to appoint and to give internal audit to look at what, on a clear, simple, straight forward matters. You have got legal persons there in the municipality, which one of them even resigned. And apart from them, there are other people who are working in their legal department. And then how do they communicate with their record system when matters of legal nature when are delivered to simply few administrative matters that people must deal with that. So you don't want to take responsibility for the summons that have been sent. Before summons are served, there's been letters of demand, and I can put it to you, it's somewhere there in your record system. Somebody somehow just decided to ignore, or is your weak record system that you don't want to talk about, then you just want to again outsource it to the internal audit. And I don't think that's the job of the internal audit. That's the message that I wanted to bring to you. Then you should take responsibility for this, but proceed in answering the other questions. The other members,
let's go back to that, Chair. Let me go to the detail of what happened, because maybe I just brushed it on top. On the day the sheriff submitted the documents, there were about 7 summonses which were received. We do have a system in place to record, you know, such documents. But what has happened is that of the 7, there was a pile of, can you hear me, Chair?
I'm listening to you. I can hear you. I can hear you. Mr. Votipere.
Yeah, the sound is getting corrupted. Chair, so the document, when it was presented, it was an incomplete service. The
document was incomplete.
Can I proceed? You know, we've got the report. Shouldn't I give you the draft report that you've got? Because I'm sure it will answer all those questions that you are raising. We do have a draft report already now. Shouldn't it be easier that way? Hello? Chair? I don't know what is happening here, but I'm sure it's not my ancestors, Chair. It's technology.
Ma'am?
Yes, Chair.
Yes. If you want to submit further information, let it be, but respond to the questions as raised.
Yeah, I will do that. I'll do that. It's just that I was saying, because the summons was getting bad. No, you know, Chair, that day then when the sheriff submitted the summonses, there were about 7 summonses. And we've got a system of capturing them. They were all captured. But on the 7 summonses, the 7th one was a document which started at page 290. So when it was being, Dennis, when it was being recorded, the person recording it could not make sense to say it refers to which case. But then they made a copy of the front page of the page 290 and sent it to legal. And upon receiving of it at legal, apparently the manager was on leave. And then on coming back, he tried to liaise with the sheriff to say, you have submitted an incomplete document. But unfortunately, it was during level 4 or level 5 lockdown, and the sheriff had indicated that they have minimized or, you know, the, you know, access to them. But later transpired that the sheriff who was serving the notice passed on and things like that. So we could not even physically trace, you know, to say who submitted the documents and why were they submitted incomplete. So that is one of the reasons that made us unaware of that matter. So as I'm saying, there is a report that tried to trace, you know, from the receipt of the documents to why when it got to legal, it was not attended to. So there is a whole report, and then we will be following up, you know, with taking corrective measures. But as I've said, the systems are there. Obviously, they are not foolproof. After this, we have to tighten them, you know, to make them even more tight, to say that, you know, every report that comes, you know, legal must, my office, both my office and legal must make sure that before you sign off anything from the sheriff, make sure that it's a complete document. So that's the process that we're put in place. With regard to the resignation of the legal advisor, the report is that it is not true that he gave a 24-hour notice. He reported to his manager and served notice, and during then I wasn't aware that he was serving notice. But you know, the report that we have produced by internal audit, it makes an allegation to say that he was one of the people who were tasked, you know, to deal with this matter. So obviously, me too, when I heard about the resignation, it raised eyebrows to me to say, you know, in the middle of this, you know, someone resigned. So it's part of that investigation. We will be following up on consequence management around that. With respect to incomplete projects, Chair, it's something that we assist with as a municipality to try and deal with all those incomplete projects. Some of them, it may have been caused due to, you know, non-performance by contractors and so forth. But we have put a process in place to ensure that, you know, a majority of the projects are, you know, completed. It also has financial implications, meaning that we have to allocate monies, you know, from the little budget that we have to ensure that some of those projects are complete. I don't have the list with me, but we do have the list as administration. We can provide the list to yourselves, you know, after the meeting. But I must also add that, you know, the lockdown has also affected, you know, our ability to move on some of those projects. But we can provide that list to the committee. The issue around KFC, it did not have happened this year, Chair. I will have to follow up on it, because as far as I know, here in the municipality, you don't provide food since I arrived, but maybe it happened in prior years. It's something that we'll follow up and then give the report. I wasn't aware of it, at least. And then the forensic report, I've spoken about it, and I've spoken about steps that we're taking, you know, to deal with it. The issue of, you know, big companies and LPUs owing the municipality, it's an issue that we are faced with, Chetters, and some of them have taken us to court. It's an issue that, you know, as I'm saying, that we assist with, we're on a, you know, regular basis, you know, we're dealing with it, trying to fight the matter at court, but at the same time trying to engage, you know, especially NERSA, you know, in the case especially of the LPUs, to get NERSA and the DTI to come to the table, because some of the implications, you know, of the tariff issues is that some of the steel companies have argued that they will be out of business if they have to pay the cost of incentive tariffs that they want. As a municipality, you know, the survival of the steel industry is of a concern to us in the area. Hence, we are having an engagement led by the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, you know, together with NERSA. There's been ongoing, you know, it's a work in progress to try and resolve issues around, you know, the LPUs and those owing the municipality, so that whilst we want to collect the money, at the same time, we're not, you know, going to be contributing to the collapse of the industry. The issue of the labor hours, we have a committee, a task team that deals with that together with province, and province has also provided a legal firm to, you know, help us to review some of the cases. It's work in progress. Some of the cases that we will be approaching court to try and reverse some of those awards. I must add, Chair, you know, to say that some of the awards we tend to are self-created. It's something that we're going to be looking into to say the conduct of officials in those awards, because sometimes it's a default judgment because the person who was supposed to represent the municipality did not attend the case. And, you know, in our absence, the judgment was given. We're dealing with that matter to ensure that we investigate and find out, you know, if there are officials conniving to make sure that the municipality loses cases. We are going to be investigating that to make sure that we get, you know, to the bottom of that. The disciplinary cases, as I've indicated, that we are proceeding to implement disciplinary cases that we have.
Councillor Deji Molo, please. Councillor Molo, please. Proceed, MM.
Yes, we do have a record of all those cases that we are looking into regularly to see to it that which ones can we, you know, resolve and get off the table so that we reduce the money that we spend on lawyers, you know, on these cases. We are also engaging with, for example, the Comptroller report. For example, those cases, we are going to be utilizing SALGA and sister municipalities so that we don't get lawyers, you know, doing the cases, because that's where most of our litigants end up going on the cases, because, you know, the disciplinary cases can take a lot of our money. But we are also engaging with SALGA to ensure that we start training our managers, you know, on dispute resolution challenges, to ensure that we start reducing, you know, the issue of the disciplinary cases, but also to, you know, to educate our staff, you know, around consequence management, train them around the code of conduct, you know, because sometimes you may find that it's not very serious cases that people get charged on, but it may be because, you know, we may not be doing ongoing training to our officials. It's something that we will be putting in place. Just to share some of the good ideas that one had, we got affected, you know, because of level five lockdown, but that's not an excuse. It's the measures that we are currently working on to put in place to ensure that we deal with those issues.
MM.
Yes.
In the absence of your acting executive mayor, and I believe the mayor himself is back, can I ask you to answer the following questions? Then I'll allow the members, because these are the questions that we asked last time. They seem not to be responded to. You see, if you check, I hope you are noting them. Ne? You can hear me. The AG has indicated that in the long term, your municipality will continue to struggle financially if there's no intervention on the revenue collection strategy. Since you have joined the municipality, as you've said, in February, what is it that you have achieved in terms of addressing the severe debt collection challenge in the municipality? And then was there any support from COCTA and the provincial treasury to that effect? Then the other issue that I want you to respond to, yourself in particular, what were the reasons compelling you not to finish the HD with information on the actual cost of using consultants for preparation of annual financial statement in respect of 2018-19 financial year? The audit happened while you were there in the municipality. And there are rumors, it has happened in this municipality, that one of the audit team members was shot in the hotel around Mfulwe. Do you know any things that related, because it can't be personal matters. I think maybe it was around this issue of you guys refusing to give the AG the information to that respect. And then the other issue that is directly affecting you as the accounting officer. The municipality, as we speak now, has resolved none of the 81 audit findings in respect of the 2018-19 financial year. Why is this happening, MM? And then, why has the municipality not yet developed a post-audit action plan? If it has done that, is it available? Is it having clear timeline and time frames? Are you able to then share it with us? The other issue that I want you to share with us as a committee What are the details of the fraudulent and irregular activities informing the decision to terminate the Opulentia short-term insurance contract? HOD Wongani, when you, I ask you if you are using a cell phone, what must you do when you... I don't know what's happening. You can't hear me, ne? Am I audible now?
Audible, Chair.
Yeah, I think it was the slow time in terms of reception. Yes. I was still saying to the MM, he must share with us what are the details of the fraudulent and irregular activities informing the decision to terminate the Opulentia short-term insurance contract. And then the issue that Honorable Brink has raised with the mayor, which we want you to tell us now as an accounting office, why did your municipality not defend the 400 million litigation by BFXOLE, with whom the municipality concluded a written public-private partnership agreement for the procurement of a smart metering system and an infrastructure for water and electricity? These issues that we want you to answer, is it also true that your municipality, MM, has a second bank account which it has not disclosed to council and its creditors? So those are the issues that I want you to respond to, because these are the issues that we raise with your colleagues and the acting executive mayor. These are the answers that remain unanswered now that you are here and you are the accounting officer. I think you will be able to respond to all these questions now. These are the concerns of members, and you are here as an accounting officer.
Okay, Chair. Can I respond?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the concern of the AG is, you know, about the financial viability of the municipality. It is a concern that is we as a municipality assist with on a daily basis. And it's also part of the reasons why there was a Section 191B intervention and the 154 support required from province. And indeed, Chair, when I came in, on realizing that, we as a municipality then we established a revenue enhancement whole room, Chair, where we have developed, you know, a detailed program which we'll share with you on what are the practical steps that we're going to take to deal with our revenue enhancement issues, you know, in terms of improving systems, data cleansing, increasing, you know, payment levels and things like that. So the whole room has been established. It's led by MMC Finance, supported by the lead administrator for finance from province. So provincial co-ordinator and provincial treasury are part, you know, of that whole room, which meets every second Friday to look into our revenue enhancement challenges. It's starting to make, you know, a progress, even though the ratios haven't started showing yet, but we have put, you know, systems and mechanisms and problems in place which are being rolled out, you know, Chair, to ensure that we improve on our revenue enhancement. So the long and short of it is that we have the revenue enhancement whole room where COGTA, provincial treasury, as well as SALGA participate, and we meet on a weekly basis. I think in the coming council's meeting, we'll start reporting back to council to say what is it that we're doing. We're also doing the same thing, Chair, for service delivery. We also have a whole room on service delivery where we look at the number of our, you know, service delivery challenges, and you know, we're in partnership with SALGA and COGTA and then treasury. And then proceeding to the appointment of consultants, I'll request the CFO to speak to that, Chair. I'm not aware with the reasons, you know, on why consultants were appointed, you know, to do the AFS.
No, you are not hearing a person.
Yes.
It emerged during the audit that yourself as the municipality, you did not finish the AG with the information on the actual cost of using consultants for preparation of your annual financial statements. And then you see, though, the reason why the AG was asking for this, because still, even though you've used those consultants, they didn't add any value. So I don't want to ask, why did you use consultants? Okay. The issue I'm asking you as an accounting officer, because you are the accounting officer, you must cooperate with the office of the AG. And this audit happened while you were there. You didn't tell me. So the issue of the appointment, yes, the CFO can account to that because it happened prior to you coming. But when the AG audited this year under review, we were already there in the employee. That's our issue.
Yes, sir. Can I come back with the response to you?
And an accounting officer, you know, AG when they do their work. You must take time.
Yeah.
You know, where in municipalities, where in AG is.
Chair,
you see, you find AG who has been responsive when documents are requested. MM must tell this official, you must sit on the neck of this official to say, colleagues, give the AG documents. In this case, where were you? Because you were already appointed and it's part of your responsibility as an accounting officer to do such.
Yeah, can I come back to you on that one?
Response. You want to come later on that one?
Yeah, can I come later on? Yeah, let me gather my thoughts around that. And then, you know, there's this unfortunate incident that you're speaking about. I know it happened years ago on the AG staff member who was shot at. I think it happened about 3 or 4 years ago. Chair, I did not know the details around that. I'm sorry. It happened long before I joined the municipality. But I am aware that there was such an incident, and I'm aware that it was investigated by the police.
Okay.
But
do you know what was the delay of the causes of the delay of the issuance of the AG report now? What were the causes? It was not based on the fact that an auditor was shot.
It would have been the previous financial year, not this one.
You don't know about that.
No, no, Chair, I'm saying that incident.
Not the one that we are talking about.
Yes, no. We should talk to the previous one. Unless I'm corrected, but from my knowledge of the municipality, it would have referred to the previous one. Can you hear me, Chair?
Proceed. I'll verify that with the AG when was this person shot.
On
but
the,
in the meantime, proceed with this.
On the responses to the AG report. I know the report was completed in the past 2 weeks. I was speaking to the internal auditor. We were still going to have ex-coordinator to today, Chair, to discuss, you know, our approach to that report. Unfortunately, we haven't had time to discuss it, but we can finish you with the report. We're going to have an ex-co today to, among other issues, to discuss our responses to the AG findings. So we do have a report. Unfortunately, I wasn't here in the past 3 weeks to could have processed it. But the report is there; it's ready. We'll be looking at it later tonight. And then coming to the other three issues, the numerous bank accounts. Chair, we did not hide any bank account. As a municipality, I think the CFO will also assist here, is that we have a primary bank account and other bank accounts like your investment accounts and so forth. So it is not true that we had hidden all our bank accounts. Actually, as we're speaking, the PFS creditors are busy hunting our other accounts. So because it's public knowledge, they can just go to the banks to find out, you know, if you do have accounts that they can attach it. So we did not hide any account. They are there. As part of the ASS, we do report, you know, on those bank accounts. So it is not true that we have hidden those bank accounts. And then on the BFS, to say why we didn't defend the case, as I have reported earlier, Chair, was that when we became aware of this case, we had all the judgment had already been given. You know, Chair, a very funny thing has also happened was that even the notice of sit down was apparently served in the municipality, but it was not served in the office of the municipal manager, which is one of the reasons I've said, let's just do an interim probity by internal audit, because a whole lot of things that were supposed to happen during this case did not happen. And I really suspect that there is foul play, you know, but I don't want to point fingers. Hence, I'm saying, let's get an investigation to get to the root, to the bottom of the issue. Number one, why did the sheriff serve us with incomplete information? On receiving it, why didn't our legal guys proceed with that? The notice for sit down, when it was submitted, it was not registered, you know, through the normal council process. So there's a whole lot of things, you know, and it's a multi-billion rent claim, Chair. So you cannot discount, you know, foul play. But we do have a report that looks into that. We will take it forward and report to council. I'm not running away from responsibility, Chair, but I have to do what I have to do. And then on the opulentia thing, as far as I know, Chair, the contract has not been terminated. There are discussions around the legality of the contract, because the allegations that have even gone to the public protector on this matter to say that it was regularly appointed. We've got a report, Chair. I can share it with you. But I think out of interest of the municipality and the companies involved, I'd rather share the report with yourselves. You know, I don't want to go into detail, because as I'm saying, it's also being investigated by the public protector, and it's a subject of social media discussions on a daily basis in the municipality. So I would rather I give you the report, Chair, so that you can have a look and see what has happened, what does internal audit find out. We've also reported the matter to the MEC, the DG, the HOD maybe can give us an update, because we have now, the matter has been taken over by the administrator to develop it. But as far as I know, the contract has not been terminated, but there are discussions around regularity of the contract. I hope I've covered all the issues, Chairperson.
The AG is doing off-site auditing in their offices in Pretoria based on the incident that happened in 2018 when one of their auditors has been shot. Same with the 18-19 financial year, they've done it off-site. You submit. So it means then they can even come and verify some of the information that they... So I'm saying, what mechanism have you put in place to ensure that you create a safe environment, a conducive environment that will make other spheres of government, in particular a Chapter 9 institution, to come and perform its functions fully without fear of intimidation or being their lives being threatened? What mechanisms have we put now in place as an accounting officer?
Chair, we are engaging with the AG. And as far as I know, they did come and do an assessment in terms of this current financial year. Unfortunately, we are not privy to what assessment have they done for them to take a decision to go and do the audit offsite. Because our agreement has been that, okay, if you don't come to Mfuleni, you can go to the district. Ourselves, the issue of security, you know, it's something that we are just with as a municipality. We have, you know, put in place a reasonable amount of security in our office to ensure that, you know, there are security personnel and things like that. But you know, Chair. Beyond that, I think that's what we were put in place. But unfortunately, they do their own risk assessment, and then, you know, and they are the ones who decide. But otherwise, if the AG needs to come on site, we can provide an office for the AG. We can provide that there is, you know, physical security, you know, next to where they would be working to ensure that the documents, you know, are not tampered with, or, you know, their safety, you know, is not compromised. Unfortunately, that incident, when it happened at the private abode. I mean, it was just like, just on a B&B and stuff like that. It did not even happen in a municipal, municipal space, you know. So, and, you know, Chair, I think part of the reasons was that there was also, during that time, 2017-18, if you remember, it was during the time when there were a whole lot of service delivery protests in the municipality and things like that, which have sort of gone down. There are still protests, but they are no longer as bad as they are, as they were in the past. So, as I'm saying, that all you can do is to provide security, you know, provide office space, provide a workable for the AG office. But unfortunately, they are the ones who decide that they'd rather stick to. You agreed to them that they will work from the district, but they've now opted, you know, to move out of the district to their offices based on what they would call their own security assessment.
The last one from me to you.
Yes, Chair.
Are you still there? Can you hear me?
I'm here, Chair. I'm here with you. Yes, I'm here with you. Yes, Chair.
Colleagues. I was the last one. You came in when there was a previous administrator who spent it was a 2-year tenure in the municipality. And then now there's also a new administrator, an accounting officer. What can you say? Because definitely, as you came in, you could have then assessed the two tenure reign of the administrator. Say with the measurables that the administration has assisted. Also now, with the current administration that is there, are you confident that there will be opinion on this matter?
Yeah, Chair, you were speaking slow. I couldn't follow you. Hello?
I'm talking about the previous can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me? Colleagues,
I think it's the position.
Are you fine?
I can hear you now. Yes, Chair.
Can you hear me? You came in as there was the previous administration in the municipality.
You're saying, Chair?
And you could have made your own assessment.
Yes.
You could have made your own assessment on the administration that has been there over the past 2 years. Then now there's a new one as well. In your own view, can you share with us what is it? You want to understand the impact this administration is having on the municipality.
Okay.
Did you see possible outcomes of the previous administration that was there over the last?
Preacher, no, the son is dealing with us. Can you hear me, Chair?
Is with MM. I can see you clearly now.
Okay. I hope you can hear me now.
Comment on the two administrations, the current
one
and the previous one.
Yeah, let me comment. The previous one, Chair, when I came, my SOL colleague had just left. So basically, I continued with his team. So basically, it was just to try and carry on what the team had put in place and improve, where there are areas that needed improvement. And then with the new administration, I think the difference between the old administration and the current one is that the current one, it's more resourced, it's more hands-on, because previously Mr. Ngwane was alone. But now, I've got resources of about four people. I mean, it's the lead administrator, Ndate Pila, it's Mr. Zimu on infrastructure, it's Ms. Tili Ngwane on tennis, on SCM, and Ndate Matlaba on finances. So I think we've got those resources that from time to time I bounce off with them in terms of dealing with this mammoth task. I think the difference between the previous administration as well as now is that we've got a solid team and we've got processes and through FRP West Streams where sector departments have to come in and play their 154 role. It doesn't work very well, but I mean, maybe because of other reasons like lockdown and the like, it's a process that we have started, so that we get all the departments coming in to ensure that they provide their 154 support through a particular processes and vehicles, including SALGA as well. As I've also raised that we've also established two war rooms, which the administration, the lead administrators are, helping and working hands-on with with my colleagues to ensure that we deal with challenges around supply chain, around finance, around infrastructure. Of course, there'll be tough battles from there from time to time, but they haven't really escalated to a sense of people writing, complaints around administrations and things like that. I think the reception and the camaraderie, between ourselves and the administrators has been a good one, and I think it can form a model for 139 interventions, because as you know very well, Chair, in other interventions, you find that the administrator gets locked out. It does not even be given a parking space and the like. But so far, as I'm saying, the difference between the previous one and this one is that this one is more nuanced, it's more resourced, and you've got systems in place, to continue on what Mr. Ngwane and his team worked on, previously. So it's sort of a refueling a plane whilst it's mid-air. It doesn't have to land on the ground, but you get another jet to, put fuel on it without, stopping the plane. Thank you, Chair. Are you there, Chairperson?
Chairperson? Chair?
Well, I was trying to say there are people who are abusing this chat group.
Yes.
If not your infulling meeting or whatever where you can write whatever. Yeah, we are getting abused, We are being abused. Can you refrain from doing what you are doing in the chat group now? You have reduced the chat group into something or to fight your factional battles here. Yeah? Don't do it in front of us. We're an oversight committee, whatever is family, whoever is writing this nonsense of you guys, can you refrain from doing that now? Some of us are getting pissed off now. In fact, use the platform to also deal with the procedures of the meeting. Any nonsense that gets written there now, one is going to take exception to it. Can you proceed, Honorable Kaiser?
No, Chair, I think that you have covered my questions. I won't regurgitate what you have said in terms of what the Auditor General says about consultants. I wanted to follow up on that and clarify on that. And so far, we are getting a generic rather than detailed responses. And that is totally undesirable at this point, because what we need as an oversight committee of parliament is relative details in terms of what transpired and what needs, what then are the solutions, are the proposals, rather than hampering on the problems. What are the proposals of the municipality? I've not picked up that at all. We have had the victim cards and all those things. I was not here. We have had this before here in the committee. And so when they come with the same tactics, we can pick up that there's not necessary preparations towards the answers. For instance, the questions that you have just asked pertaining to the consultants now, he said that he was going to come back to it. Has he come back to it? No. So we are not getting value for this for meeting this municipality. So I think that the committee must then put together all necessary details and see what we can do, because we want to know if the forensic reports then bring about people that are implicated there, and what is the consequence management really? I mean, there's problems, because if there's problems here at the municipal level with the officials, surely This really, really hampers on service delivery. It hampers on people in the informal settlements, you know, that do not have there's problems of housing, the problem of water during COVID-19, you know, that affects the people currently in that municipality, and we have not seen the official speaking to the challenges there, and what are the solutions that they are proposing in terms of providing services? Because when we were there, there was a protest. There is a video here in the group and elsewhere in the media where people were just fed up about the municipality, and so necessary investigations must be put in place, because I'm not sure if the impacts are even functional. If they were functional, they would have brought about the investigations, the outcomes, and bring them to this platform, so that we can have a sense of what the progress is and what is to be done. I think that those are the issues that I wanted to raise. Thank you, Chair.
Any other colleague who wants to follow up on matters? Thanks, Executive Mayor, for coming back. And I think I don't know what happened to the acting mayor. I see all of a sudden she's raised her hand, but in all fairness, we agreed with you, acting mayor, that we are going to have this follow-up meeting today. That day you were so eager to talk, but today we have to look for you. I don't know if it's not disrespect for this committee, what must I call that? Honorable members, any other member who wants to raise issues? Maybe. Yes. Who's that one?
Is Executive Mayor honorable?
No, I'm still asking the members. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm still asking the members so that when you raise, you respond, you deal with all the issues. Okay. There's one for me, Executive Mayor, before you come in, and the other members of the city who want to come. You got a letter that was addressed to you, the speaker and the MM. I think this letter was dated the 24th of July, 2020. The letter came from the community radio station called Hope FM. They were talking on behalf of all the community radio stations around the area, that is VUT FM, VCR, Hope FM, Tete FM, Sidiveng FM, IFM, and Lugua FM. Because they were raising, I think, a pertinent matter to say this municipality has never utilized the provision of Section 25 to its maximum benefit when it comes to the issue of the IDP. And the issue that we were on COVID-19 at the time, they called your IDP to be not inclusive in terms of the Systems Act. And then they were raising with you a critical issue that the listeners of Hope FM, including the other radio communities, stations, they were of the view that your IDP was not consulted enough. They also plead with the speaker to call a special council meeting and review the matter and allow public participation to happen through community radios. To date, they are saying there was no single acknowledgement of their letter from both all these three offices, the speaker, executive mayor, and municipal manager. Can we get your response to that effect? Because they did that upon the request of their listeners to write to your good sirs. And then we are a public institution. Just a mere acknowledgement of the letter from all the three offices, that never happened. So I would like you to also respond then under the circumstances, because there were directives from Kofta nationally on how you must engage on your IDPs. So these are some of the issues to say then. It means then you short-circuited those processes. Was your IDP and budget actually consulted, given this type of the letters that we have received? So I want you, as and when you engage, to respond to this matter. And then I still need to ask the administrators to comment, all four of them, if they are all here, on certain matters as raised. So in that order, Executive Mayor, say what you want to say. I want the MM to comment on this issue raised by Hope FM, including the speaker to also comment on it. Over to you, Executive Mayor. Executive Mayor? Is the executive mayor still there? Colleagues, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Chair. We can hear you.
Yeah.
Speaker, can I ask the speaker to be the one that starts while the executive mayor is sorting his connection?
Yes, yes, Chair. I'm here. Honorable Chair, I'm here. This issue, yes, I received an email, but the email, when I received it, it was already taken by the office of the executive mayor, who is responsible for IDP and budget. The responsibility of the speaker is to go for public participation. And I was told that the MM went to Hope FM and discussed the issue. And I was, even when I was investigating, because I wanted to go to respond, I was told that the MM has already gone to this radio station. And there were clips which were given to me that all radio stations were given a slot where the municipality was saying community members, because it was during COVID, must go and take our IDP documents from different our clinics, our municipal offices, because all these documents were distributed there. So I was just not able to go again because already the MM started to respond to those issues. It came late to my attention, but I investigated with the other MMC who was responsible for the process, because there was a steering committee that said, and a decision was taken that we need to do this through our radio station. And really, I was given those radio station clips where the municipality was saying to community members, it is now time for IDP. We can't call you because we are still under lockdown. But please go, you'll receive this, and comment on what we have proposed as municipality. That's how I responded to the issue of Hope FM. But the MM can clarify it more because he was on radio with Hope FM. Thank you very much.
But you didn't acknowledge receipt of the letter, did you, Speaker? Did you respond? Because why would they bring this letter to the committee now? The argument is that there was no acknowledgement from your office. So if indeed you investigated, what made you not to write back to Whoop to say, this is what I've investigated, because there was a letter. You see, we preach what you feel.
Yes.
But then you see that out of courtesy, you will investigate matters, then don't go back to the writers. Is this how you operate?
No, that's not how we operate. I think it was communicated. Yeah, it's just that it was during lockdown, we couldn't even go there. But through the WhatsApp, we communicated that I should not go again because already the MM was there. So I didn't want to duplicate myself because already the MM was there. So maybe the MM can clarify
what happened. No, because you are not the mayor. That decision for you to write back, there was a correspondence addressed to you. Why didn't you revert back to the writer? This is what Batupili says. And explain what you are explaining to us today. What made you not to acknowledge receipt and said what you are saying in this meeting today to the writer of the letter?
The
How many other letters come to your offices and don't get acknowledged? No. Remember, you are the front line. You are the chairperson of council. And you've got the responsibility to respond to any letter, any correspondence that comes to the office. Because the issue here, there was not even a mere acknowledgement, not to deal with the process. You have been requested to convene a special meeting to deal with these matters in the letter. You have not yet responded to them. You didn't explain to them why you can't convene a special council. Safe to say the MM has done. There was a request that is very specific to you that do this as a speaker. Is this how we respond to our people's concerns and when they raise with us?
No.
So you didn't even see the letter. That's what I'm trying to raise with you, because you are going to town, Madam Speaker, instead of responding to straightforward matters that are put before you.
Yes, I'm saying, Chairperson, I acknowledge through the WhatsApp, because we were communicating and it was during lockdown. I even sent them the clips from those radio stations that this issue that you are raising is already communicated to the very same radio station. It was on, it's just that it was not on Hope, but Theta FM, they were having that clip, VUT was having that clip, and the two. Maybe the problem was Hope was the only one which was not catered for in that information that was sent by communication from the office of the MM. So I said I communicated to them. I even sent them those clips that were circulating in the community around the issue of IDPs. The only issue that I can say I admit to is to call the special counsel to discuss that issue. But in one meeting that we set as PMT, I raised this, that issue, and it was not nice because I was even fighting with some of the MMC, that MMCs, I said we must call few people, because during that time we're still accommodated to have less than 50 people. But they said the committee, the steering committee, decided that we need to put this on radio. But for radio station, except Hope, the clip was there informing community to go and check the IDPs. Even the issue that I was worried about was the issue of the tariffs, which were increased. I said community is not aware of these tariffs that are increasing every year. We need to go and discuss it with our community. But I was told that no, the clip is there, and I was really given the clip. We can also send you that clip that went to four stations except Hope. But the MM has more information around this issue. Thank you.
Chair, are you there?
Straightforward, Mr. Speaker. You got the correspondence. The
I can't hear again, Chairperson. Hello. I lost you, Chairperson.
I was saying, it's a mere matter of acknowledging the letter and explaining your processes as counsel. That's the matter that is reported to us that you didn't do that. And then
I agree with you, yes. That, yeah, it's just that we did through WhatsApp, because during that time we were talking with them through the WhatsApp. I even sent them all those WhatsApp where the clip was circulating in different radio stations. Maybe the only thing that I admit I didn't do was to write an email and report back to them. I acknowledge that mistake that I didn't write. And the issue of calling a special meeting, because we thought that communication had gone to all community members through this four, except Hope. But the MM knows why maybe Hope was not considered in that regard.
Madam Speaker,
Chairperson,
the letter, can I urge you to go and read that letter and respond to it? Because you are talking to completely different matters, not as raised in the letter. I'm okay. saying, can I urge you to go and read that letter? Because
yes,
we are talking on different matters. Yes, go and read the letter and respond. But it can't be that you are told by a parliamentary committee to respond to letters. Because now you are talking about completely different matters. If the clip you are talking about, the MM went to radio to talk about the Comperio report.
No.
So
no, the IDP,
letter,
the
letter
IDP.
Was very clear. And then the advert you are talking about is the advert about tariffs and submissions for IDPs. But on the actual letter, on the consultation, I'll urge you, you go and read that letter and acknowledge the letter and respond to the community reviews. Please. Can
okay.
you do that? Because you're
yeah,
not
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Sure. You are talking of different
yeah.
methods.
No, I was responding to the same
sure,
issue
sure.
that, yeah, I'll do the letter. It's just that I said I couldn't write the letter, but that really we did consult through different radio stations, the four of them, Teta, Sidibeng, Lekwa, and VUT. The only radio station maybe which was not catered was Hope. So I agree that I'll write a letter and explain this issue. That was the only thing because I thought through our WhatsApp discussion, they have agreed to what I was explaining. But after that, the MM went to Teta, to Hope FM to clarify some of the issues. The pity I was sick by then. I didn't hear what the MM was talking around the issue of IDP with them. But when I asked the MM told me I was there. I explained the whole process, how it went on. But I'm happy I'll go and read and then submit a written apology to the station. Thank you.
Okay. Is the mayor ready now?
Chairperson, I'm not sure, is it the acting mayor or the mayor?
Don't chair the meeting. I've called the mayor. The mayor wanted to speak. You'll be the last to speak because of your conduct. The mayor was raising his hands before you. I'm calling the mayor. I'm not confused. Is the executive mayor still wanting to speak on this matter? There were times the executive mayor wanted to speak. If he has left again, it's okay. It's your turn now. But can I emphasize again, you taking us not serious, madam. This meeting, we all agreed with you in your presence. So we have to shop around and ask people to call you. Not even sending an apology to the committee secretary that you held up on something. Can we plead with you to take us serious as a committee of parliament? It can't be your time on us. As a blessed talk, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. My sincere apologies. I did forward an apology to the executive mayor who was on leave. But yet to come. I'm still in the magistrate, if you can
because
see the background. I'm in a court now. Sorry, Ben. I'm saying I'm in court now, if you can see the background. I did request the executive mayor, Ntatemi Rane, to tell the chairperson when the meeting starts that I will join on and off due to that I'm in court as we speak. There's a matter that occurred at work. I received the threat. So even now, I was busy with the magistrate. She just finished just now with me. So my sincere apology if the mayor didn't tell that I'm in court since the morning with police and the magistrate. So my apology for that, ma'am.
You see, the issue now, you stand at the risk of repeating things that have been said because you have not been in the meeting.
No, there are matters that I'm gonna answer on, ma'am, without repeating myself on projects.
How sure are you they are not answered?
Okay, maybe let the chairperson guide me without maybe getting back and forth. Okay, chairperson. Chairperson, as I've just said, I respect your high portfolio. I would just like to say five matters that you raised last week, high level, without going deeper with them. And the matter that you've raised last week, I think that they were the matters that you were asking even the HOD of Kolkata, that he must clarify on how this intervention, the previous one, not the new one that started in June, has yielded results. And you asked us that, did we receive any close-up reports on all those matters as a chairperson? And did we agree? Why did we agree on those interventions as the executive? And then the other one that I'm going to talk about is the AG unanswered AG from 2018-19 and unfinished project, and then the issue of the consultant use for the financial or FRP. And then the last one, I'm going to talk about the submission that was said that way they delayed the AG. Chairperson, in answering the first question of why did we allow the section, or why did we go have a close-up report on section 154, 2017, we did request a close-up report, which did not, Treasury at that time didn't provide it to us on finding out to say what had happened. And over and above that, we didn't get the support that we expected in terms of 154. And then in November 2017, we then received, after the institution had concluded on the report of appointing an accounting officer, it was already closed, done, we're supposed just to appoint, then we were given a secondment by province of Mr. Ngwane to come to be a secondment. In his arrival, Mr. Ngwane, which we welcomed as the municipality, he immediately stopped all procurement from 2017, November to date. I'm talking about the BACs, most of them in terms of where we operating the grants in most of the departments, they were stopped. So I'm saying it's under the intervention that came. And the same intervention that came at that time, in March, he came as a second man, but in March it was tend to be an administration. Even at that time, we refused that administration as the executive because of the terms were not clear of his role. And that his role were automatically is like us and him. There was no clarification other than like this one that we received. So due to that one, we received the letter, but were later made to accept forcefully the intervention. If I may recall, we went to a meeting and we said we don't want it. But the chief whip of council, Mr. Ali, said we must accept it. If we don't accept it, they are going to collapse the council. We then accepted the intervention of having a 139 1D as per in the Dengwani's rules. But in the same space where we accepted that, in between, before accepting, by the way, the NCOP came. When the NCOP came, it was that time MEC Uhuru, and they said to him, we can't deal with you if you are the second man. You want an administration. So hence he was converted from this, but it's not us. Remember, we are the ones who are accepting. And if you check the AT findings, when you were asking the province that how did the intervention improve the municipality, check the findings before the intervention, check the findings in terms of regression from that time up until the time that he left. What had happened in terms of the findings of HEs, they've grown. Actually, the systems, I can say personally, for me, they had collapsed because of we used to have something called Operation OPCA, where the findings of HE were taken care of, where departments would clear it. Even us as executive will get the management letter so that we can see matters that are found by AG in our department. We never got that at all. Chairperson, you know, when you last week you raised the issue about the MMCs not being in charge and MMCs not knowing. It's part of the intervention because part of that intervention was already taken over and Their MMCs mostly, they were a bit of not in charge because of the lines were not drawn, the terms of reference were not there. That clarified the role of the then set, the administrator, vis-a-vis our role. Part of what you asked last week about the IDC, to say how can a guy who comes to invest and then you are seated there, let alone it, whether how we clarify it, what was the problem? The then MMC of LED clarified to say the matter was sitting here, the issue of the, that delayed the whole thing. You couldn't even try and find matters that were running within the institution because of there were no clarification roles in terms of that intervention. Let me give you one of the examples. In the midst of the intervention, we got a committee that was seconded. We don't know by who. It was not even written on paper. The team, they call themselves the PMO. Those guys are the ones who were running. One of them was from MISA National and with our team. They came and said and formulated a committee. In that committee of the PMO that we didn't know as council, and at some point we ended up saying they've encroached the division of revenue because they themselves freeze the grants without even giving us processes. It's like everybody will come here and take over and run, but we must be the one to take a fall. So there was no proper processing of that intervention. The then MM will run. At some point, that committee once told our EDs that the mayor is no longer in charge. The mayor can't run an IDP. It's them who are running. So the intervention of 2018 up until the end of Feb, it was not clear at all. Hence, there was no accountability. Hence, MMCs couldn't answer properly because of matters were not with them. When you ask his intervention, 1 minute he's the accounting officer, the next minute he's an administrator, and there was no terms of reference. But I'm saying in that process, you can check how did we regress because of even the matters that we are raising correctly, so we couldn't follow them. So that intervention didn't yield the results. It didn't work for us. Then we were promised that the guy would give us a close-up report to hand over to the new accounting officer in Feb, which the executive mayor was supposed to facilitate and they were supposed to sit together. Still, we didn't get a close-up report today of that intervention. So, Chairperson, I was trying just to fast track so that I don't say much in the middle, but I'm willing to can explain further if you afford me time. Chairperson, on the issue of and then we got the new intervention. This one is a more clearer intervention because there are terms of reference. We know the role, how far do they go, and that started in July. So that one is clear. But the other one, it has regressed. And if you check many matters, if you check many matters that we're discussing, whether it's a BC, XCSA, whether it's a large power users, whether it's what, they happen under the intervention. And if we would have got a proper report, that report, a close-up report of the role of the province, of the role of the administrators at that time, that would have helped all of us to say, where are the gaps, how can we improve, and then what is the way forward from that time? Which we are fitted here, there's another intervention, but that other one, there is no close-up report for it. But I'm happy that the HOD himself, he did say the reason of them removing the then administrator was that they've realized they were flawed. But I was just trying to say, the relationship between the council or MMCs with them, it was so difficult that we couldn't engage with them. At some point, we used to raise this issue of PCXA to say, tell us about this contract. Why is are we now have to condone or come to council after the effect? Many matters came after the effect because of the confusion of the administration. For example, the ED matters, yes, we took out adverts that went and they were interviewed. But the process of bringing them to council, so that before they're appointed, we get that they are vetted, all of them, that they what scale are they going to be paid on, and then and what qualifications do they possess? It never came. The then accounting officer signed them off without council. We had to come and condone. So I'm trying to show you that things were done without us. We were running after the then administrator, which, when you see MMCs not able even to articulate, it was then condoning after every matter has passed without us saying anything. So let me pass quickly, Chairperson. On the issue that you spoke about of unfinished project, you know, Chairperson, sometimes I said to the team when they're doing this report, everything that we say, we're speaking with the highest committee. People must not just say, they must provide portfolio of evidence. So that you, when you sit at, you know what is the reason. And when I say something like I'm speaking now, I can provide a portfolio of evidence. Chairperson, when I relate a story to you that in the spending or in the usage of all conditional grants, if you see us losing grants, whether it's INEP, whether it's MIG, whether it's NGPG, all the grants that we used to use, since I arrived in this department in 2015, the only project that they were awarded was only six. From 2017, nothing has ever happened up until today under the grant because BACs were not sitting. Even now, BACs have not fetched. Only now the team administrator, as they've taken over because of that problem. They've taken over. Now they are trying to establish the BAC. You can imagine we are saying we're having a problem. But in that problem, we're failing to appoint companies or we're failing to make sure that BACs are sitting so that we can then deliver services from people from the grant money. We couldn't do that. The only last project we're running, it was those year projects. And let me explain again. There are projects that were run by social development, which those projects, I will take responsibility because I can't say I arrived while they were running. I must own them up as the executive. And I'll tell you the role that one played up until I took them back to province due to failure of BHC sitting in here in Mfuleni. So when anybody say to you a chairperson, they are unfinished projects. I have two ECDs that were appointed before I arrived. Those two ECDs chairperson, when we arrived, we realized some of the companies were not appointed in accordance, or some of them they couldn't continue because of the specification. Then we had to wait for the new panel so that we can be able to can appoint. For example, the Sharkville one, ECD, is the longest. It was on the time, it's the longest. I think the kids now, they've grown. I was not even here. That one, when we're about to finish it, the scope there, including us working with social development, the scope there, something was left outside. But then they said to us, go ahead, appoint a proper company so that that company may proceed. Due to that, from the 2.5 for me, there's never been a BAC that said from the 2.5 years since I arrived today, since the new administration started, no BACs. So we couldn't. And I then wrote to the MEC and say, MEC, due to our own problem, kids need a place. We can't have BACs that are sitting, rather have them take them to DID so that DID conclude them. I've removed them out of me. They are now with DID. The one stadium that is left, it's one stadium that the community of Rustavas, they came to, when the premier was here, they were excited. It was years back, even before I came to the department. They wanted the skateboarding, to say skateboarding, and that project was a first phase and a second phase. They wanted a skateboarding. So in that skateboarding that they wanted, then the premier said, okay, guys, let them be given. At that time, the MEC was, MEC Faith Masbugo, the MEC was dealing with sports. Then they were granted that skating without a scope, but province said we will compensate for whatever that we requested because they were fighting the premier at that time. It was not easy for him. Then we wrote to MEC to say, MEC, the place is finished, but the missing part of the money is the one that you said we must add. We wrote, we've got portfolio of evidence that show that there is what province promised us, and they couldn't give us additional funds. And until May Faith was trying her best, she then moved out of the department. Then there was MEC Sope. Even to her, the portfolio of evidence, I went to her office, I wrote letters, she promised, and I'm still waiting for the additional funds to finish. Then there is a Zone 7. Zone 7 a road. We have evidence in that one. You know, when the PACs were not sitting, that project, Chairperson, what happened in that project? There was it's next to the river, and in one of the IDP, the then mayor, people were fighting the mayor to say, mayor, the sewer that is coming to our house, it was extremely bad in that area. So So what then happened, the mayor requested that, guys, we can't sit here and allow our communities stay in a sewer in small farm next to Mafatane. Make sure that you send the contractor that is close by so that it can then close that sewer. That happened, Chairperson. And that went beyond the scope of what was the guy appointed for. But then the VAC was requested to sit so that it can then process the extension or whatever you call the VO and whatever. We've got documentation. The VACs never sat for a long time. Then the guy, he was normally in project space. We know that contractors, if you delay on your side, they will claim sending money. And we've been raising this thing to say, we can't be at a fault. And since I've arrived, normally when a contractor is the one at fault, we are the one saying we can't pay you. But this time we said BAC when we're sitting, the guy was incurring costs, he was sitting on the side, his material got vandalized. Internally, the BAC were not sitting. That is a project that is left behind. Let me come to the one that I spoke to you about, that of, you know, last week there was the issue of IPM and electrical department that caused us to submit late to AG. The portfolio of evidence that is seated there, the finance gave IPD the AG questions in less than 2 hours before they're supposed to be submitted. There is a proof that shows that instead of giving them 72 hours prior before submission, they were given 2 hours before the submission. That is why it was delayed. But again, when you see on the electrical side, it shows that on the electrical side, they submitted, but the AG was not happy with their response. But Chairperson, most of the things that I'm saying, like earlier, I spoke about the OPCA to say in the midst of system collapse, where you don't have operation, the OPCA that is going to give you a clean audit. You must forget this, how do you do your tracking? But all happened under the intervention we were led. And lastly, on the consultant that you spoke, that you said there are consultants that are doing your FRP or whatever. Chairperson, I think we are in an agreement. I raised that question and I was told I was not honest. I was not telling the truth. It is in our report, when you check the 1771 report, of FRP and cost containment. I saw that, and I've raised it with the lead administrator, I've raised it in MACO, I've raised it to say, this matter, I don't understand why do we have staff and we pay consultants just for capturing information. I was told that, no, it's not like that. But my where I'm missing a point, why was it written, it is not like that, to say, there is, sometimes you find it in March, it was 4 million, sometimes it's 3 million, sometimes it's 2 million. You don't even understand what changes the ratio in terms of the payment. But then I was told, no, it's not for that. It's something different. But we do read the 1771 report. And I said, to the executive mayor, we need to investigate this because of we can't read something, but when you ask answers, it's something contrary to what you've read. So, Chairperson, those are the things that I wanted to raise with you. But lastly, Chairperson, there is something called PMT here at home. It's political management team, which is not legislated, but it manages matters, even though it doesn't have a framework, what matters it manages. But all I can tell you, Chairperson, that structure is one of the structures, and I've got even some my writing to them that is affecting this council. I'm saying that I've got portfolio of evidence. When executive does try to do its executive work, immediately when they have to process their matters that must go to council, that political management structure will sit and then will return the report and say, we're not happy with this one, we don't want it. But those reports are administrative. They're affecting executive mayor, they're affecting the entire institution. We don't have a problem if they go in council and they get debated and they get returned from council because of it's correct. Councillors need to engage their reports. They need to hold us accountable. It is a proper way of engagement. But if the reports, you find them and then they are turning, later when it's bad, we get accused to say the executive men and committees are useless. Well, are their reports? But the reports were turned somewhere else. And it is a matter of a concern. My mayor all the time will say, I'm going to the PMT or the PMT said this. That structure we respect because of it manages politics, but most of our reports end there. I'll give you, I don't know if this matter was raised here, but I'll give you an example if it was raised. There are a forensic reports that already you said last week they are in the media, that were discussed in the media. Those reports have not processed in council. Ask yourself, why are they not in council? I've got where the evidence that shows that the PMP wants to see them. You can't talk about the forensic report. They must go. They have a report of council. We've got nothing to hide. We need to be transparent to our communities. I wouldn't have raised this if in my 18th time I was not frustrated to say, if the matter is of the community, let it go out. There must be consequence management. But there'll be technicalities of those reports not to be processed. But when such structures like yourself come here, the executive must answer. It's now us who must answer. But there are blockages somewhere. So I so wish that there can be clarity or maybe education that is done of roles and responsibilities. That the role of the legislation is to take care of council matters.
MLC,
Chairperson.
I think you have been serving in this portfolio for the second term, am I wrong?
You are correct.
And then it's your third term as a councillor, am I correct?
No, I'm only going for 9 years.
Yes,
I've not finished.
I'm hearing you saying all this. Why are you not addressing us on the incomplete project, unfinished project? Because you've been in portfolio for the second portfolio head for the two terms.
No, why not on the same. Not on the same.
But you have been a member of the mayoral committee. Am I wrong?
Ma'am, I was a member. Yes.
So can you address us on what oversight? Because the AG is raising some serious indictment to you on the lack of leadership and all this incomplete project. This is what we want you to comment on as a portfolio head.
Okay,
unfinished project in your department, because this is a late portfolio. You are not saying that you are just general. Yes, the other issue we are hearing them going to town, ESCO, but then this issue of incomplete project. Can you talk to us? Because these are the matters that the AG has also raised sharply. Can you talk to them? Why? What oversight are you doing to make sure that the municipality deliver? You know, when projects are incomplete, it's the communities that are suffering. And sometimes monies, you know, they go back. Because of your indecisiveness, infighting, you call it, maybe you must tell us, then what has been your role, your oversight on this matter? Because there is another project that is in the every public eye. There's a project on the Sharpeville ECD. You know what is an ECD? It's supposed to deal with all these vulnerable kids, early child development center. Since 2008, the project remains unfinished. Can you share with us why, and you are there as the portfolio head? What are the measures, remedial action have you taken to make sure that this project is completed? I'm trying to bring you in line. I'm sorry about what happened to you. I'm sympathetic to what happened to you. The mayor didn't tell us it was a city. You were busy with some other things. We couldn't understand the extent of the issues that you were dealing with. But then can you come now?
Okay.
Leave the town and come back to us now.
Okay. Chair, sorry. Remember, I said I'm answering in twofold, but I'll come back. I was answering on the last, what you asked when I was still acting. So I was trying to answer on the question that you raised, that what is our role, what is our knowledge. But coming back, so hence I was all over trying to cover all the matters. Coming back, Chairperson, I think I tried to cover it. To say, from 2017, all the BACs that deals with grants were halted. That was 2017. And then in my arrival, in terms of the ECD, there was a company that was running there. It was called Howflora. The company that was running there, we did terminate it because of when the team tried to measure the job done and everything that was taking place there, it was not adding up. And so that company couldn't finish, and then it was cancelled. While in the hope of us appointing someone to finish there, unfortunately, because of the BACs, it couldn't have any new appointments. With the then accounting officer and the then ED, they then agreed to say, let them extend the company that was working in one of the ECDs to go and complete that space, that work in the ECD. And that thing, I'm so happy, Chairperson, because it was not done outside from the department that is funding, which is social development. It was extended, and then in the extension of doing that, while other bits in terms of appointing new contractors were refrained, they couldn't finish it. And I said, we need to get a new contract to complete the project. And in failing to get that happening, Chairperson, that is when I wrote, I requested MEC of DID, I'm shortening that. It's not only that one, it's that one and Bipatong. Bipatong started in 2015, and then this other one, it was long, of course. I was not even a councillor at that time when it started. So I requested the MEC, can this project be run by DID? Because internally, we are having a problem of the BEC that are not sitting to get a panel of contractors and consultants to be able to can then appoint people who will finish the job. Let me give you an example. The report that I had on the Ibipatong one, the contractor that was there, he did a job when I arrived, when I checked. Hence, I requested that, no, he can't continue. But the company is liquidated as we speak. Because the company that was doing the job, I realized that most of the job that was done there when I do my oversight was not done by him. He outsourced, actually the job was done by guys who are up and coming in the location. He was not doing an oversight. The company called him Nwango. He was not even doing the oversight. That was my arrival. That's when I dealt with the matter to say, this matter, we can't continue like this. But there was a company that was then doing another ECD that was, there was a deviation that was done by the then accounting officer who asked the company to go and finish there. The company, when it arrived there, it realized that no way, the specification there, it was not done properly, it's less, he can't finish it with the money that is appointed. He requested that, guys, I can't continue, I don't want to spoil my name, can I be taken out? Because of, if I have to continue, the job that is done, it might not be completed with the amount. That is when I realized that if the BEC are not sitting to get a proper specification to finish this project, I rather take it to province so that province complete the project, which is what I've done. So Bipatong ECD, Early Childhood Development, and Shankville Early Childhood Development are gone. The one that I finished Everton ECD, I finished Bipatong ECD. So there were four that were running in the region. So two finished. Then the two, I took them out when I realized internally we had a problem. So those are the projects that I'm talking about. I'm saying they are no longer with us. In my oversight checking now, the MEC said they are busy with redesigning them, and then they'll come and hand them over to us so that I do oversight. Like now, I do many oversights for province, and all their projects, I can tell you, they are finished because I've been hands-on on their projects. Let's come back to the one of Zone 7. The one of those seven, as I said, Chairperson, earlier, that project is even itself the one, hence I'm saying, as a leader, you can't say, I was not there. You are correct to say, where were you? I've been there. But if the systems internally are not hands-on, I've been trying to make their records, I've been trying to MMC Finance to say, make sure that the BACs are sitting, because I'm losing grants. Chairperson, you are asking me about the collapsed one. I'm talking about even losing the grants that were supposed to be implemented. Over 2.5 years since I was there, there never been a project. Up until today, there's nothing. So, but I've been asking.
Who's to blame? Who's making
finance.
You lose blood?
It's finance. The
Which
BAC is not sitting. And full in finance.
It's administration.
No. I'm saying
administration is letting you down.
Yes, I'm a politician.
Cannot my... be financed alone. If BAC, it's a whole value chain from so it's not finance.
It's finance.
So it's the whole administration. That's really.
Yes, I'm saying my then accounting officer has been crying, talking to him, and raising this matter. Only now, Chairperson, in July, only now with this new administration that has terms of reference, I'm only going to be getting the panels to can start spending on grants after 2.5 years. That Ebila and this administration, at least they are clear with terms of reference. But the previous one, Chairperson, one would cry and scream. Instead, let me tell you what they've done. Instead, what they've done.
You see, MMC.
Yes, ma'am.
MMC. You know, when you are failing to provide leadership, you come here and complain to us. You can't be telling us that officials have failed you. What have you done?
It's intervention, ma'am. No. Ma'am, I'm saying. The
intervention didn't take any responsibility from all of you, council and administration. You were not under 1391C. So maybe you must explain to us how this intervention is affected. Does it want to tell us that the intervention is responsible for a contractor that the Sharonville contractor, which you have already paid 31 million and the project is incomplete, how does intervention come to the picture then? The Wipatong contract.
Yes.
Contractor is fine. You had already paid 31 million on a budget of 15 million. How do you explain this thing to say intervention is failing us? You have talked about the cow flora extermination as well. How are these things interrelated to intervention? Because there's been warm bodies. Some of the people that were there, you even turned them to become MMs and CFOs. They applied. You gave them. They came as part of the intervention. They applied to show that you were happy with them being on the intervention. You turned them to become MMs. Then, so where does intervention come in the picture if it's not yourself failing to exercise oversight on these matters? I mean, let's be fair and realistic. And then, can you people? We have been listening to you since this morning.
Yeah.
Ne? Some of you are not telling us the truth here.
Ma'am?
Some of us are not telling us the truth. I'm trying to get perturbed because we are using our time here. It's committee time with the view that we get the problem so that we can be able to say, this is the problem. How do we navigate? But if you want then to put a patient, you are diagnosing a patient and the patient doesn't tell you what is the actual symptom. How do we move forward here? Honestly, because really, I've listened to the external auditor where I was seated. Some things are not adding up here. Some of you here are just well bent to talk. We're not interested on how English can you talk and how nice can you put this matter. But we are listening. The members of the committee have got a WhatsApp group here with them. You are not telling us the truth in some of the things here. Can you colleagues become clean? Come here clean so that we can see how best can this mean. It's the people of Mfuleni that are suffering on the ground. It's the people of Mfuleni that are suffering. That's why I even deliberately asked you, for how long have you been? I did my own research. I got it from the council that you've been there. You've been sharing this portfolio for quite some time. Do you sleep peacefully in the night knowing that you've got incomplete projects that are incomplete and want to blame administration? Can we really? Did administration, then you must bring me documents that says administration wrote letters to say don't proceed with this project. then maybe we'll have to, we're still going to meet with the MEC, I think, next week on all these matters that are. It's a pity he had wanted to come here today. He sent us an apology, we have it. The team from the department is still here. I've seen a lot of them, including the HOD, they are here. They are listening. And then I would like the administration team to also comment. When you finish here now, I'm going to give everybody who's a member of the administration team to comment, including the department. HOD is here as well. These other issues that you are making as accusation against the department, and them, they are going to respond to these issues. So be careful of what you are saying and also respond to these issues of your own incomplete. I don't see any reason why the incomplete. You see, you were very right initially when you were saying the BID Education Committee has not been meeting. That's why I said, in other words, you want to tell us it's the administration that has failed you. But then it comes to the issue of consequence management because you are the political head of the institution. It comes to that as well. But at the end of the day, I think MMC, the issue of the people. People, when you give them your IDPs, you adopt their budget, they are very happy. But there's a trend in this municipality of projects that don't get completed. But money gets spent. Some of the money has to be returned to both the National Treasury because of the capacity issues of the municipality not spending on conditional grants. Can you share a success story of any completed MIG project that you can break about? Because all your MIG projects, majority of them, they are incomplete. I asked the MM this question. He said he only joined the municipality in February. So yourself now, as you normally act as well, you have got this institutional memory. We thought you were going to assist us here. Okay. So basically, that's our concern. As you are wrapping up, complete, okay. Guys, know that there is a lot of unhappiness on the part of colleagues here who are saying, but no, man, these things we are being lied to here. I just want you to know that.
Okay. Chairperson, I'm happy. Remember, I've given you, I've structured the intervention, and I've said to you the current intervention is the one with proper, that Ntatema Ile brought, is the one with proper specification in terms of the roles of all of us. That is the first intervention that we see has terms of reference. And that's the one that I'm saying I'm looking forward to because of, it, this is, the roles are clear. Chairperson, remember in terms of the same MFMA that is guiding us, we do oversight, but I can't interfere on the administration in terms of the tender. I can't interfere in terms of the tenders as the politician. I can go as far as advising and as far as writing it down, as far as raising the matter with the executive mayor, as far as raising the matter with the MACO Section 80, which all of them, they are documented. If you, that's why I said when we speak here, we'll provide portfolio of evidence. My job is oversight, but I can not overstep and go to administration and force them. I'm giving you my role as
but
I said to you.
I'll have an issue where you are coming here as a member of the mayoral committee. Because the discipline of administrators is a collective responsibility of council, of which
I'm
you are a member
that.
Of the
I'm coming to that.
A member of the mayoral committee who has been given this responsibility. For you to come and lament to us for failing, for you to exercise.
Ma'am, I'm coming to that.
Yeah, but
can I?
Don't have
yes.
The luxury of time, please. We need to conclude yes. This meeting by 4:30. There are still more other people to speak. Deal with
yes,
the matters. That's
yes.
Why I'm trying to plead with you now, because you can't be complaining to us on the conduct of officials which you have got authority over. We'll refuse for you to do that to us.
I'm coming to that, ma'am. Ma'am, at some point we did a request that the accounting officer then to be to tell us why must he not suspend it. And we went to council and did that. But again, at that time I even remember MMC Mube was the one who was acting. We went and requested due to all the failures, but executives, what do you call it, chairperson, if you are not in agreement as council, If in council, when you bring a matter of consequence management and the matter is not adhered to or there are divisions, the executive will fail to implement. We see it. There is a report that we said, why must we not suspend the Tenkwan? The following week, then the Tenkwan we were told that, Aibo, why are you doing that? That's wrong. So I'm saying, with the intervention, it was there through him. We wanted to suspend him. We were told, but he's an administrator. But he's a head. There was no MM. There was a lot of confusion at that time. Hence, I'm saying, Jefferson, hold me on my word. What you are asking, at least ask all of us to produce portfolio of evidence. There's a point where we even wrote to Menko Sazana Zuma. We see that letter, where we were complaining about certain matters that were taking place here in the institution. So I will provide portfolio of evidence. Find me guilty if you say MMP has failed here. But as much as we want to do consequence management, I can't come and say, hey, you are fired. I can be taken to court, but I must follow a process. That process we did try, it didn't yield results because the guy was
so following the process. Why are you not following the process?
We did follow the process, but the, it didn't happen. It was a, that's what I'm saying. We don't want to do something that is wrong. If you say, ma'am, why don't you hold your staff accountable? We did. We wrote and we went to council and say, why might not suspend you? But then there was those forces that say, no, you can't. So I'm saying, ma'am, you are correct when you say you're not telling the truth, all of you. Those call us, let us give you portfolio of evidence, and then you judge by yourself. I'm liking the way you're interrogating us is proper, but allow us to provide. Then in that case, ma'am, you get documents. Then you can sit down and say, the executive has failed here, the executive couldn't provide here, what are your hindrances, what are your failures? Because now we'll come and present to you, and of course, you might not take it for real, and somebody might say she's lying. Whoever said it's not true, I'll provide documents. And in that case, if you close the matter of Mpuleni, you'll see there and write a report to say, but they said this, but there's a portfolio of evidence on this matter, then this is how we must process it. Because I will speak in some language.
Can I ask you to pause? MM, are you here? MM?
I'm here.
Is the MM here?
Yes, I'm here, Chairperson.
Yes,
I'm here, but you are getting cut, but I'm here.
Is it true that your bid adjudication committee has said since 2017, the MMC say?
Yes, can you hear me? Am I audible?
We hear you, Lucky.
Oh, okay. No. Previous financial year, when I came, there were committees established, and I didn't change them. I let them to continue. There were backlogs, but the committees were established. And I think they were also affected, you know, during a level 5 lockdown. In this new financial year, as we're about to establish committees, then the MEC, after invoking Section 9395 and taking over the SCM, the injunction that the MEC made was that... Hello?
Yes. That's what I'm saying to say. Since 2017, the MMC is saying that the bid adjudication committee has not been sitting. The question was very straightforward. So the bid adjudication committee has not been sitting to also consider your old projects. Your bid adjudication committee is only sitting for new projects, not old projects. Definitely out of those incomplete projects, there are those that are abandoned. And by law, you are expected in terms of the MEC to reprioritize them so that you complete them. But that's not the case. So you are getting new projects, leaving the old ones. Because there's an issue that the MMC is raising. That is an indictment to you. to say you have not been sitting, and then you seem as if you are a bunch of untouchables.
No, Chair, that's not the
case. Below Peter Sellers, am I wrong? Then the way she's putting it.
Because
the AGS raised issues here, the lack of political leadership, the lack of oversight on the side of politicians. What is it that you are having for these councillors that they are so scared of you? They can't take decision if you are failing them.
Who?
You are...
Who, me?
Officials. There seems to be an issue that councillors can't take decision because this thing is being apportioned to you now. As
Chair, I was trying to explain that.
Okay, I think I need... Yes. I agree, you are the leader of the administration team. That's why I'm saying.
I was trying to explain that in the previous financial year, before the beginning of this new financial year, we did have committees. Just that in this new financial year, because province has taken over the SCM, there's been delays in the appointment.
The question, MM, is, have the committees been sitting? That is the question, direct question.
Yes, they've been sitting.
Over but the I'm past 2 years, the committees have been sitting. The good committees have been sitting. Hello?
I'm saying, as far as I know, since I came to the municipality, the committees have been sitting until the end of the financial year. In this new financial year, we have not had committees sitting.
So the MMC is lying.
Maybe the MMC must clarify. Maybe she was referring to projects that were not finalized by the BAC. Maybe let's allow the MMC to clarify what you are saying.
They're saying the BAC has not set since 2017. That's
what she said. First, Bila, Sim, why have you taken over that power of supply chain from the pro? I'm sure it's you. Can you respond? Province. So you are responsible for the collapse of the BACs. That's what it said. Can we hand over to the province and the administrators? Who wants to start?
Can you see me, Chairperson? It's Bila.
Bila? Yes, I can see you. Yes, okay. I can see you. But it's your roof only. You show me the ceiling. You say you show us the ceiling.
Okay, no. Can you see me, Chairperson?
Yes, now I can see you.
Okay, thank you. Let me start first. I'll try to be quick in order to be... to respect the time. We have taken note of all the things that have been said. Let me start with the bid committees. The bid evaluation committees and the bid adjudication committees have already been established. We have a dedicated project action plan, which we are working on, which we'll be implementing. And we're certain that appointments will be made in time, and we'll be reporting on the program of action to the MSC on a weekly basis, and the mayor and the mayoral committee accordingly. That's number one. Number two, we have taken note of the advice given by the outgoing audit committee that our program of action must be aligned to the issues raised by the AG for the past 3 years, and that the audit action plan must respond to all those issues, and that our deliverables and activities in the POA must be responsive thereto. We have actually agreed with the outgoing audit committee that we will have a meeting urgently with them in order that they give us their outgoing report. We also will intensify the recommendations that were made in the forensic investigation reports that the chairperson of the committee were informed about, being the George Fivers, the Grant Thornton, as well as the Comperio, which were informed has not as yet served before council, but were all aware of the provisional report, because remember, as correctly stated by Ntate Mofokeng, it has been presented to the MEC in the forum where we report to the MEC on a weekly basis. So we will deal with that, and we'll implore and strengthen consequence management, because it falls within squarely of our mandate as the administrators. The opulential report will also go into it. It has actually been presented to the MEC in camera. I'll have to have a discussion with the HOD on this matter, because the matter as well has not yet, as yet served before council, but there has been an in-camera engagement with the MEC and the HOD. On service delivery, I will recall, Chairperson, that last week I did indicate that we have a turnaround strategy which is contained in the POA, and that we are refining the 6 month service delivery plan. We were expected to deliver the 6 month turnaround plan this morning, but because of the portfolio committee engagement, that meeting of the administrators and the MEC has been deferred until further notice. So we have a 6 month turnaround plan in respect of service delivery to deal with all those issues of the sewer spillages, the Vaal River spillages, the potholes, the refuse removal, the cemeteries, the parks, all service delivery issues in general. That will also go for the incomplete project, but I note that there's a lot of emphasis on this ECD infrastructure project. We have already, together with the MSCs, did a site visit where we did an inspection in loco, and will then strengthen the way forward as to how best we'll deal with those incomplete projects within the 6 months service delivery turnaround plan. Thank you, Chairperson. I think let me pause there. I think I've recorded most of the things that I regarded as being the highlight, the high priorities that came out of these engagements that I need to deal with in the program of action. Thank you, Chairperson. May I step down, Chair?
Sure. Any other member of the administrative team want to comment?
Chair, thanks. It's Silas Zimu, team administrator, Public Services. I think, Chair, yes, we've sat the whole day. We've had what's been discussed. We had the questions been asked. And I must say that there was a 60-odd pager that I know that was supposed to have been presented as responses to the previous questions, but I'm sure that had been sent to your office already. I have visited some of the incomplete projects, Chair, and I don't have to notify anybody when I visit these. The last one was on Friday last week, and I intend to visit nearly all of them in the next coming week or two so that I can then compile a report. But I will need to get into the report and also engaging some stakeholders, including the public, and then I can develop a complete report of what might have happened, Chair. The bid committees, the DDG Bila has already stated something on them. But to my recall, I think tenders of October 2019, last year, nothing has happened to them until now as we get into another October. And as I stated, Chair, last week, having all heard everything that has happened today and last week, I still believe that the place can be turned around. We just need to work together. I'm seeing improvement on the relationship and the support. And yes, we appreciate your intervention as well, because it exposes a lot of things. It puts the attention of what the communities are going through at a higher level than us, which is really appreciated. And being a community member from Mfuleni, like Sidwell, I really appreciate your process, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Any other member from the COCTA in the province? HOD, you were here the whole day with us. I still here.
I'm still here, Chair.
Proceed.
Hello, Chair. Yes, Chair, the two things.
Yes, you can say two.
Yes, the two points that I want to raise. I think one is a political issue that unless we resolve the political tensions at Mfuleni, we are unlikely that we are going to succeed with this intervention. In the area are proving to be a major threat to this intervention. So it's a matter that I hope in the meeting on Monday or Tuesday should still be raised, but we continuously raise this issue with the MEC. That there's a possibility simply because of politics. I think it's a matter that as the administrators, we can continuously raise for our political leadership. The second issue is that this intervention is 139B. It's not 139C. But in the course of doing things, it's either people want it to be 139C. I wish we could keep it focused so that the administrators or the team of administrators that are deployed there are not being dragged on other issues. Because, there's other issues that could still be dealt with.
We're losing
today. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We lost the issue today. I'm saying the second issue. Can you hear me?
We do hear you, HOD.
Yes, I was saying the second issue that I wanted to raise is that this intervention is 139B, not 139C. Yes, I wish the administrator, I wish you could keep it as focused as that, so that we know that I know that we may say we know this thing, but in the course of doing things, you know, there's a temptation to drag the administrators into other areas. You know, whereas those areas can still be taken care of by 154, which is support the municipality. Hence, we also as COCTA have a team that is supporting the municipalities, all municipalities around there, in terms of 154. But this intervention is specific on three areas. And, you know, you wish otherwise, if the administrators start to behave as if it's 139C and they get, you know, dragged in all the issues there, the intervention is not going to, it's not going to succeed. Thirdly, the issue that I also wanted to raise, when MM was speaking here, he talks about